Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Mission Africa. And once again, by the gracious will of the Lord, it is my joy to worship God in the ministry of the Word of God this Lord's Day morning. We continue in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 17 today, which says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." We'll see once again precious truth, precious light about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You can learn more about our ministry at missionafricajk.home.blog. That's missionafricajk.home.blog. Let us pray. Father, in highest glory, we give you thanks and praise for your enablements, for your full and abundant provision to us, truly all that we need as creatures that you have made is given to us for life and godliness. And we thank you for the treasure of your provision that is given to us in the Word of God. And we thank you too that knowing the truths of the Bible is really like taking up the sword of the Spirit, that in this battle for life we may overcome darkness and live forever in the precious light, in the grace of God. So, Lord, I pray that once again your Spirit will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and that you will lead precious souls to Christ, that they may abide in the truth in the Lord Jesus Christ, and so come to eternal life and escape death and destruction at the hands of the enemy. Thank you for your power, Lord. Thank you for the precious truth. We give you praise and thanks. Once again, I must ask for grace and blessing, knowledge, truth, for my listeners. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Friends, a British bishop by the name of J.C. Ryle has written, "Ignorance of the Scripture is the root of all error and makes a man helpless in the hand of the devil. See there the picture that the devil conquers through ignorance of Scripture, that this ignorance is the root of all error. We see clearly that this is so regarding the lost, who are ignorant of the precious truth and so are held helplessly in the hand of the devil, the god of this age. We see this also in the lives of believers who have been saved and essentially brought into the truth, into the Lord Jesus Christ, that believers too can be ignorant of the precious truth and in this sense come into the hand of the devil. Their souls are eternally safe in Christ, in the truth, the essential truths that they really believe and hold to, but they come into positions of danger in spiritual battle as they are ignorant of the Word of God. To know the Word of God, we must read and hear, understand and study the precious Word of God. We must be prayerful that we may know the truth and abide in the truth. This full provision for abiding in Christ, in being safe in Christ, in overcoming danger, is given to us by God, and that great provision is made in the sword of the Spirit, the precious Word of God. In the book of Genesis, we look back to the events in the garden and we see that the devil comes in hateful malice and rage to war with mankind. And the devil picks his prey. He selects the woman Eve. He targets her and he comes and approaches her with the intention of destroying her, of destroying mankind, God's blessed creature, And he pulls out his weapon, if you will, reveals his weapon. And the weapon that he reveals to destroy mankind is a lie and darkness. A lie has such a profound effect upon Adam, first Eve, then Adam. Adam knew the truth. And I believe it's fair to say that Adam believed the truth before he believed the lie. And to believe the truth, simply put, in God's vast wisdom and grace and ability, is to live forever. Adam departed from the truth. He believed the lie and he died. But the second Adam has come with the precious truth, and he has come to cut down the enemy. The devil cut down the man with his weapon, lies. The second Adam has come to cut down his enemy, mankind's enemy, the devil, with his precious weapon, that is the sharp, powerful, two-edged sword. The sharp, powerful, two-edged sword, the precious truth of God, liberates and brings life to men who have believed lies. And it empowers, it enables men to believe the precious truth of God, to know the truth, to believe the truth in God's great creative ability is to be made alive. Adam died believing a lie, but sinners who are dead in Adam are raised to eternal life by believing the truth. The truth makes us live. And the call of God to this dead and needy world is the call of the gospel. That is, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. God has loved sinners. God has given his Son to die on the cross for sinners. God has given his Son to save sinners. And God calls sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. He died, but he lives again. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And to come to Jesus Christ, to believe in him, to commit one's life to him, to repent, to surrender to Christ the truth, is to come into the truth. And then, by God's gracious provision, those who have come into the truth, into Jesus Christ, who live in Jesus Christ, abide in Jesus Christ, and abide in the precious truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and are safe in the Lord Jesus Christ, safe in the truth. He is the truth. We are safe as we abide in the truth, as we know and obey the truth, and we are safe in battle. We are saved from death and from damnation, the second death, which comes justly upon the ignorant, the unbelieving, those blinded by the God of this age, because they have sinned and they are kept in spiritual death. But we who come to the Lord Jesus Christ and live in the Lord Jesus Christ are safe eternally, blessed eternally in Christ. Infinite good awaits us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal good awaits us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are called now, as those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to battle with the enemy spiritually for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we battle to remain safe in Christ. We are soldiers of the cross. We maintain our safety. And then we battle courageously and ably to free others from spiritual death and damnation as we take up the sword of the Spirit, the sharp, powerful, two-edged sword of God. Today we want to look at examples of the use of the sword in actual battle, as we find it in the Bible. And we first turn to Jeremiah chapter 5 in verses 14 through 31. We see that Jeremiah takes up the sword of the Spirit, the powerful, sharp, living, two-edged sword comes forth from his mouth. That is, he proclaims, he speaks forth the word of God, the precious truth. And we see here that Jeremiah is battling against the darkness, the unbelief, and spiritual death of Israel. He is battling, proclaiming the truth, taking up the sword of the Spirit in this fight with those who reject God, his truth, and who reject Jeremiah, who believes in the truth of God. And notice how Jeremiah steadfastly proclaims the truth of God. We see in verse 14 that the word of God says, "Therefore thus says the Lord God of hosts." Note again, the Lord God of hosts, a military term, the Lord God, the sovereign creator, who has a military host, the angelic host, says, "Because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them." See the picture. The word of God is a fire that will burn up in judgment the unbelieving people that it reaches. "It shall devour them," God says. Behold, God's proclamation, the sword of the Spirit, very specific truths, very specific indictments against Israel. "Behold, I will bring a nation against you from afar." That's Babylon. "O house of Israel," says the Lord, "it is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language you do not know, nor can you understand what they say. Their quiver is like an open tomb. They are all mighty men." Notice that this is a powerful army that will come with power to take Israel. "And they shall eat up your harvest and your bread, which your sons and daughters should eat. They shall eat up your flocks and your herds. They shall eat up your vines and your fig trees. They shall destroy your fortified cities in which you trust with the sword." And so obviously a picture of battle from the Lord of hosts. And in this battle, the Israelites are completely overcome, completely devastated by this actual foe that would come, as Jeremiah prophesies, precious truth. "Nevertheless, in those days, says the Lord, I will not make a complete end of you. There is hope. Not all will perish or be completely destroyed. And it will be when you say, 'Why does the Lord our God do all these things to us?' Then you," that's Jeremiah, "shall answer the people, 'Just as you have forsaken me, says God, and served foreign gods in your land," the idols are lies, let me add, "so you shall serve aliens in a land that is not yours." Notice the irony. The Jews had forsaken God, turning to lies. And so God would give them over to those who do not believe the truth, to a darkened people who overcome them in a land that is not theirs. They had turned from God. He would turn away from them. He would cause them to depart from him, even from the land. Verse 20, "Declare this in the house of Jacob and proclaim it in Judah, saying, 'Hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding,'" that is, without heart, "who have eyes and see not, and who have ears and hear not. Do you not fear me, says the Lord?" Let me explain that that means, "Will you not honor me, says the Lord God of hosts? Will you not tremble at my presence? who have placed the sand as the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass beyond it. In other words, God is reasoning with the people, will you not honor me? Don't you see? I am the Lord. I have created the bounds of the sea so that the waters cannot depart it and overtake you. I have decreed, I have commanded, it is a perpetual, everlasting decree that the bounds of the sea shall not flood again the lands. We remember God's covenant with Noah, the promise of God. And though its waves toss to and fro, says the Lord, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, they cannot pass over it. But this people has a defiant and rebellious heart. They have revolted and departed. They do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God. Let us honor him. He is the Lord, the creator of all things, who gives rain, the former and the latter in its season, who reserves for us the appointed weeks of harvest. The Lord has done this, giving us our food in its season. God says in verse 25, your iniquity have turned these things away, and your sins have withheld good from you. Notice that Jeremiah is dealing with specific sins in a very specific way. He is countering the lies the people have believed. They have denied that the Lord is the creator of all things. They have denied his power. They have denied his holiness. They have denied his provision. Indeed, they have looked to their idols for provision. And God declares to them that the blessings, the good they have enjoyed, will be taken from them because they have denied their ultimate good and source of good and blessing. They have turned from the Lord, and they will receive the consequences of their iniquities. Good is withheld from them. Jeremiah continues in battle, wielding the Spirit's sword, his word. For among my people are found wicked men. They lie in wait as one who sets snares. They set a trap. They catch men. And so God has found dangerous, destroying lovers of evil, servants of Satan among the people. They seek to destroy Israel. As a cage is full of birds, so their houses are full of deceit. The picture there, the cage was not normally bigger than it needs be. So a cage would be full of birds. We might think of the birds in the cages at the market, and their houses, the houses of the wicked, are full of deceit like this. And so this is a deceitful people. God begins now to deal with their social evils. He has been indicting them, bringing an accusation against them for their religious sins. Their hearts have departed from him. They have failed to worship and honor him. And now, in their unbelief, they are committing outright evils against their neighbor. God's word now declares they have grown fat. They think they have all they need. They are sleek. They are confident of themselves. Yes, they surpass the deeds of the wicked. That is, those who are obviously wicked, unbelieving. These people who put on a pretension of righteousness, Jeremiah says, notice the stroke of the sword. Do not plead the cause of the fatherless. It pierces. The sword pierces. Yet they prosper, and the right of the needy they do not defend. In other words, they are making gain, unlawful gain, by not defending the fatherless. They are oppressing the fatherless and needy and taking, stealing from them. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? Notice the piercing of the sword. Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? Notice the promise of judgment. Again, the piercing of the sharp-edged sword to the very heart. An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land, the Spirit proclaims through Jeremiah. The prophets prophesy falsely. The very prophets are liars, and the priests rule by their own power. My people love it. The priests do not rule, lead by the Spirit of God, which would bring grace and blessing and good. They are selfish. They are liars. They seek their own gain at the loss of others. They are thieves, and my people love to have it so, says the Lord God in verse 31. In other words, the people agree, they enjoy, they like, they love these lies and the consequences of lies. They seek to live by evil, by oppression. They love it. But what will you do in the end, says the Spirit of the Lord? The question asked to the unbelieving Jews, how will it turn out to you when I bring judgment, when you come to your end, when you come to death and destruction? The powerful God who spoke through the prophet, who cannot lie, fulfilled his prophecy through the prophet. This is exactly what came upon the unbelieving people. Another scene in which we see the use of the Word of God in a very powerful, particular way, it is piercing and sharp, is found in 1 Peter chapter 5. Precious truth that is made known to us here, beginning in verse 8. Peter's admonitions. Be sober, that is, be serious. Be vigilant, that is, be self-controlled, be watchful. Because in battle, he tells us, your adversary, the devil, let me fill in and describe the picture a bit for you. Your enemy, your adversary, the devil, a powerful enemy who destroys many, walks about like a roaring lion. The lion would roar as it has taken its prey. And so the picture here is that the devil is prowling, walking about, and he is roaring. He is ready. He has taken his prey. He seeks to devour those he can. And Peter admonishes, precious truth, resist him, the devil, steadfast in the faith. Praise God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, knowing that the same sufferings in this battle with the roaring lion are experienced by all who believe in Christ in the world. The brotherhood faces the same constant, severe battle. But may the God of all grace, praise God, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Notice there, God has spoken. He has called believers. He is calling us. He will bring us to himself. The Father has called, come to eternal glory at my side. He has called us by Christ Jesus, who has come to save us. Praise the Lord, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who battled and gave himself to death for our sins on the bloody tree and has crushed the serpent's head, who has overcome the enemy, defeated him, killed him. After you have suffered a while, we are in battle, my friends. This is not the time of ease. This is the time of suffering, if needs be. But in time, the gracious God, the glorious Christ Jesus, will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. The picture there is that we are agitated now. We are shaken in the conflict. But in the conflict, the battle for our lives, for the lives of others, God will prevail. He will perfect us, mature us, bring us to the image of Christ perfectly. We shall be without sin. We shall overcome and live forever. And now in battle, he establishes us. He causes us to stand with strength And he calms and settles us. We are agitated in the battle, the conflict, but God calms and settles us, causes us to be stable, established, and secure. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter, the author by the Spirit of these glorious truths that I have just shared with you, is also seen in Acts chapter 2 in verses 23 through 38 to powerfully bring the truth of God, to wield the sword of the Spirit. And this results in the conversion of many, many people at Pentecost. Time doesn't allow for us to continue today, but next time, the Lord willing, we will look at Peter's battle with the evil one as he sets captives free in the glorious truth and grace and love of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he preaches Christ, as he proclaims the precious gospel to the people who hear him, and many of them believe his words and are set free and come to Christ and live forever in Christ. Friends, let us pray. Father in heaven, glory and praise and thanksgiving and love and honor and fear to you, worthy, most worthy God, Lord of hosts. Thank you for the light you have given us in the teaching of the Bible today. Thank you for these precious truths. And I pray simply and ask that your word would be a shining light in my listeners' hearts, and that you would develop in them a deep thirst and hunger for the word of God, the precious truth of God, that you will enable them and strengthen them to overcome all the weakness of the flesh that would keep them from feeding upon Christ, reading, taking in, hearing the precious word of God. Overcome the weakness of their flesh, that they may be strong in the Spirit and hear the word of God deeply and powerfully, and grow in grace and knowledge, and so be mighty in the faith and mighty warriors for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory and praise. Thank you that you encourage us. Thank you that you save us. And I pray for those who are listening today who have been impacted by your Spirit, by your truth, that you will bring them to Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, and that they will fall upon him, the rock, and be broken and humbled and love him and trust him and worship him forever. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.